It is the 22nd of the 1st, 2021, 9:16, and I'm going to phone Enfield Council's new whistleblowing policy with Jeremy Chambers, jeremy.chambers@enfield.gov.uk, 0208 379 4799, and see if we can get anywhere with him from there about getting a transfer and getting out of here. So that's, I can't get a fair standard of life living here anymore. 379 4799. First time I've rung this number. Just hang up the phone. I'll try again on the same call again. Straight off. I've done that twice now. I rang Kay Osborne again. 1476. Does exactly the same thing. My number's on hidden, so.
Kay Osborne is currently
on. It's gone straight to voicemail. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Can't a fraud manager. Sweet. Bob Chundick, I've spoke to him before. Faye Hammond, I don't think I spoke to her, I think she's quite new, and Jeremy Young. Ring the full blind line again. 379 4799. Could almost think it was a Saturday, but it's Friday. No answer machine or nothing. They put the phone straight down. It's only been 3 minutes. We'll try K again.
Is currently unavailable.
We're phoning Ian Davis, Chief Executive Office, the original number, which is 0208 379 3901, which I was ringing Heather Littler on all of them times. 0208 379 3901. They get a secretary on this line. Barred straight away from me, and it. They've turned the number off, I think. Oh, it's ringing this time.
Good morning, Chief Exec's Office. How can I help you today?
Hello, may I ask who I'm speaking to, please?
It's Christina speaking. How can I help you today?
My name is Mr. Cordell, and I've been trying to go through multiple different issues that I've been having with Enfield Civic Centre, and the way that I've been treated by them, and the way that their staff have done lots of fraud to harm me. And basically, people were saying that I wasn't providing evidence. I explained I was going to build a website, horrificcorruption.com, and that I'll be hosting all my evidence inside of that. I've been hosting a lot of evidence inside of it. I've still got a lot more that I'm going to load up But with the amount that's in there, surely Enfield Council can do their own investigation in regards to these issues. I was phoning this number 379-3901 throughout the years of them illegally holding me in my house by an application that they created fraudulently while forcibly processing like lots more of applications on top of me. And I just wanted someone to be able to go through it, and because I'm still being forced to live in the same house, I'm still being treated by my neighbours the same way, and I'm being attacked by them, and not as bad as before, but the memories and the torture of what I've been through in this house through them days. I was promised a transfer, a housing transfer, and the council, it was all an agreement. The paperwork got signed by Michael in the neighbourhood office team and was all going through. It was supposed to go to a boardroom meeting. It was under a judge's orders. A judge ordered that. Basically, they had created an ASBO, which was fraudulent, and put me on an eight-year curfew, like, which had multiple different issues, which I can prove was wrong with it. And then
Sorry to cut you in, Mr. Cordo. Could I take your full name and your address, please, so I can...
My full name is Mr. Simon. Yep. My Christian name is Paul. And my last name is Cordell, C-O-R-D-E-L-L. And my address is 109...
Simon Cordell.
Yeah, my address is 109 Burncroft Avenue, Enfield, EN37JQ.
Three, seven, JQ.
7 Juliet, Quebec.
SJ, yeah. And what was the name of the road? 109?
109 Burncroft Avenue.
Burncroft Avenue.
On my website, Horrific Corruption, I've been building it for a while now. Under Simon's cases, there's my diary, which is in there. And in my diary, I've took all the correspondence that Enfield Council created throughout the last 8 years in doing what they've done in my name while I've been in my house and not left my house. And I've put all of them documentation up. So, like, a lot of emails from it with Ian Davis, all signed with Ian Davis and Jeremy Chambers and everybody else is all inside of there. I'd like the company to actually stand for what it's supposed to represent, and that's the people. I'd like for it to do its own investigations. I've supplied the evidence and hosted the evidence, and I have to pay the cost for this, pay cash and everything, just to have the servers and to be able to keep everything up, just so that everything can be shown and displayed in a fair way where it can be managed. And I was promised a housing transfer. A judge ordered that. They created an ASBO, forged the ASBO, held me in my house for 8 years, started using the TV and the rest of it to try and pushing that media stuff, trying to scare me out of the country and away from looking into the application and realising all the fraud that had taken place in it and what they had actually done to me. Enfield Council was highly responsible. They acted in joint enterprise with the Metropolitan Police in creating the ASBO, which can clearly be proved. While holding me in my house and torturing me, trying to harm me, they've forced a possession order, and I wasn't in my house for the dates that they made up, 31 dates. Then they've lost that possession order, well, they didn't go to court with it, the second stage of it, because I was requesting the signatures of the people, the so-called victims, and there was no victims at that stage, and there still is none, like, throughout it. But they lost the possession, they didn't file the complete thing for the possession order, took all the claims out of that, went and met all of the people that me and my mother had been writing about for 16 months who were actually attacking me, and they met all of these people behind my and my mum's back without ever meeting me or taking a statement off me, even though we were complaining for all these months prior. And they basically took statements off them and turned me into like the perpetrator, as they label it. And then they've gone for injunction order. They've lost the injunction order. They've took the 31 claims they made up in the possession order, put them into the first injunction order, lost that, took them out of that once they had lost that and was struck out, never allowed to go back into court. I phoned an officer, Lemmy, in the South Mole, B Block Civic Centre, who'd been just employed, and Lemmy, he was one of the people that forged the 31 claims. He, after losing two cases with them, and the judge striking them out, he refiled them again. But what he done is, I phoned him and he said that I threatened him down the phone. I got the recording on the phone, and he actually tells me down the phone that he's going to kill me and my mother. And I'd never done nothing wrong in the recording, because I knew I was recording him without him realising. And basically, from that there, he phoned the police, got the police to come to my house and arrest me, and he went back to the court and refiled a case just for himself, and because he had just lost the first possession order and lost the first injunction order. So the second injunction order was based on Lemmy alone and me making a phone call to Lemmy, which I have that recording. And then what he done is, he's gone and took the people that he took the statements off and that he had turned into the so-called victims that were really attacking me, while forcing me to live beside them still and letting them still attack me daily. And he has took one of them back to the courts and done an affidavit of service under the 1911 Act, which causes perjury, and he reinstated back in everything that they had lost and that had been struck out, that was never allowed to be reinstated again under the judge's orders. Now, the judge realised what had happened, and he forced for the folder to be indexed, the second injunction order to be indexed. The council itself, even though they had forged all these things and I'd been phoning them, talking to them about it down the phone, asking them to stop Lemmy being the case handler and to put him under investigation for what I could prove, the council decided...
Do you know his full name at all?
Lemmy Neuerbusch was his name. Lemmy Neuerbusser... And basically, Lemmy no longer is an employee.
Sorry, when did all this started? 8 years ago, and well, this is an ongoing.
Yeah, well,
thing
well, the ASBO started 8 years ago, and it basically, yeah. And it got and I've just come off the ASBO, say 3 months ago. What the ASBO was for is for supposedly throwing parties. These parties weren't my parties, and the council knew that they weren't my parties, that I'd been set up for it. The evidence is in the horrificcorruption.com that will prove that under Simon's cases. What they've actually done is they've kept me in the house for the 8 years, but tried to scare me out of the country and threaten my human, breached all of my human rights and let my neighbours absolutely violate me, which I have on recordings. I've got a camera system in my house which recorded them on most days attacking me. And basically they've gone and met them lot because they filed for possession order and didn't have statements of them. Went for the first injunction order.
Go on. Ask you, who was threatening you? Was it the police or the council?
I've had the council and the police maliciously attacking me, which is targeted malice. Malfeasance of public office, they call it. Targeted malice, malicious process, malicious prosecution, hate crime, harassment. They've physically attempted to take my good health away from me, rob me of my home and my belongings, knowing that I was an innocent person throughout everything, to cover up the first ASBO. It says the organisation of illegal raves. If something's illegal, you must be arrested for it. I was never arrested for the organisation of illegal raves. Me and my barrister went to court, because that's what the application was called that the council made, and basically I went to defend myself for the organisation of illegal raves,
yeah,
which is a 6 months maximum sentence if you did get found guilty. Somehow I've been put on an 8-year curfew without even being arrested or allowed to even explain myself, yeah, or what's actually happened. So and the council's largely responsible for that, and it was their staff in B Block that done that. A community safety officer done it. Now Stephen Ellsmore, who is in B Block as well, Lemmy's block, before Lemmy worked there, Stephen Ellsmore, a community police officer, is not allowed to investigate crime by law. They're not a detective constable, and they're not allowed to strip search somebody, for instance, on road or anything like that. A community safety officer
officers are limited to what they're allowed to do, and the council have allowed them to go into the computer, take a load of cases that the police have shut down. I've won every single one of them, and then he's opened up all of the cases, edited them all, while being an employee and based in the B block. His office was based in B block, and they've let him do all this, create the application for the organisation of a legal raise. Me and my barrister went to court, said I've never got interviewed or arrested by the police, so I never managed to say a defence to anybody. When I went to court every single time, 35 times, I was told I'm not allowed to speak, so I was never allowed to explain myself in all of the court cases until a prosecutor was questioning me questions, trying to make me sound like
Did
I was...
Did you have a lawyer?
Yeah, I had a good solicitor. All my solicitors I've got all notes off of them, and they were disgraced by the way that I was treated. They're not happy with it. I've put in my diary under Simon's cases and horrific corruption all of the emails.
I assume you've kept all the paperwork from the court.
Every book. If you just go to horrificcorruption.com, and just have a look on there. If you look at Simon's, I've built like a company off the back of it just so that I can support myself again. But if you just go past the company side of it and go straight to Simon's cases, if you all of the applications that the council served me are in brand new PDF books that you can open. Plus, there's a thing under Simon's court case called Simon's Diary. And in Simon's Diary, I've took every email that my mum sent to Enfield Council, to all of my solicitors, and that I sent to everybody. And
Simon, is there a number, email address that we can reach you if we have to get back to you? Because anonymous number.
Yeah, because I've been barred from phoning the Civic Centre by Jeremy Chambers I can go deep into it and explain it all, but I don't think it's fair to put so much onto yourself. Give me one second, and what I'm going to do is just go into my phone and get my phone number up for you. Basically, I can prove that under my diary, everything's in there now, all of the years and everything. The council can do their own investigations. It's not going to take them too long. Like Dawn Allen and all that was forging for who works for the council, but she's neighboured office team. Jeffrey O'Man, there's about 1,500 officials in there now. I warned Ian Davis.
Have you made a formal complaint?
There's been so many, there's lots of formal complaints, and the way that they've all been handled, the way that people are persecuting me and saying like different, the list of things that the council are responsible for, and they're
negative. Have you got any names at all, Simon, that reported this to?
Yeah, I've reported it to Ian Davis, I've reported it to I've reported it to Jeremy Chamber. The list got in my diary, like I'm saying, there's like 1,500 officials. Dawn Allen, Jeffrey O'Man, Louise Brown, Laminia, Lemmy, Michael, who's now in charge of neighbourhood office. The list goes on for them all. All of them are every single one of them. I don't think there's anyone that's evading me. I've made like 500 phone calls, recorded them, and most of them weren't as polite as yourself. They didn't realise I was recording them, and they're telling me down the phone, you're dead, you've been robbed, there's nothing you can do. And they're telling me that happened, out of the 300 phone calls, at least when I transcribed them all up, I've managed to transcribe up 150 of them, at least 80 of them have that I'm dead in it by staff telling me that down the phone. Wow. At least 20 times, 8 times, 6 times, all the case handlers telling me it, because they never realised that I was obviously building something.
Did the court listen to any of these recordings?
No, I've never put it before no one's ever taken a statement off of me, no one's ever met me, none of them have met me. The only thing that they've done is every time my mum emailed that Civic Centre and said, please protect my son, the Civic Centre's never met me, but they'd message all of the doctors, and I've got all the referrals because I put an FOI into the council's computers and took all of my personal data. I've done the same to the police and I've done the same to the doctors because I wasn't known to the doctors, and the doctors have never been able to prove that I've got a mental illness. But at the end of it, I've got all the notes of the council messaging the doctors, asking the doctors to come and get me and everything. All the doctors and everyone, they've all gave me the evidence in it. If someone was just to go do a fair investigation, just go over my diary, and even if you write a transfer, like house in transfer, you see that I had after Lemmy had done the second injunction order, He reinstated what was struck out in the first injunction order. But what he done is he went and opened up the case for himself, saying that I phoned him and barred me from phoning the civic centre and that. Then what he's gone and done is he's gone and met the true perpetrators, took them to court again, and done an affidavit service, let them and reinstated everything that they had said before that had been struck out that I'd already won at the court. Then the judge knew that I was onto it in the courts, and what the council done is because they knew I was saying, well, I can prove you've done it, you've frauded all of this. They've told the judge, look, can we call for another doctor for another assessment? The judge has said, oh, he's not willing to do that in his name because he knew how much trouble he was going to get into. The judge did, but the judge said, if the council's requesting it, who's made all of this paperwork, he will order for an assessment to take place. So they've sent an assessment woman out to me, and I've shown her all the videos and everything in because I was recording her as well when they all come here, and I'm showing them all of my diary and everything and all the evidence. She couldn't really do the assessment the way she wanted it. It didn't swing the way they wanted it, where they could write bad stuff about me, because she knew I'd recorded the true ongoings of what had happened. So when we went back to call, the judge has said, look, basically to them, in so many words, that he's a bit too smart for us. Even she's saying it in the assessment. What use are fools? Because them, I was explaining to the judge that they've forged all this paper. The judge has let the assessment go through, saying that Enfield Council were requesting it, and they're the ones that had made the paperwork. Then once they had lost it, the judge. But when we went back after doing the assessment, the judge has said to Lemmy and that, look, I order for you now to give him another home. An emergency transfer must take place right now. Now, my mum was incommunicado with Lemmy and everybody and all the solicitors and that, and she was incommunicado with the MPs and that at the same time. They're all messaging the MPs to each other, yeah? Now, what's actually happened is, I'm supposed to my mum and me got told we've got to go to the neighbourhood office team, fill out the applications and put that to the civic centre, and it'll be treated as an emergency application as where it is. When we phoned up the council didn't want to give me the new home that was ordered, 2-bedroom house, like for like, in the local vicinity, and fresh standard of life, you know, fair standard. And what they've done
Who appointed the council to give you a new home?
The judge did. Lemmy kept serving it in Edmonton Lower Court. Lemmy kept serving it in Edmonton Lower Court. And
okay.
And when he went to Edmonton Lower Court for the second injunction order, they've realised that he's reinstated all that. He basically put the case open for himself for phoning him. And then he told me down the phone that he's going to kill me and my mother. And then basically he's gone to the police, phoned the police up, told the police that I threatened him down the phone. The police come to my house, arrested me. He's run down to Lemmy went straight down to the courthouse while I'm in the police station, and he reopened up a new application with the company credit card. But they had been in the court after losing the first injunction order. I've won the first injunction order, and Lemmy and Lemina and all that are going to the courthouse every day. I've got all the notes and release notes off the courts, and they're in the courts begging for the application to be reopened. The judge is saying this application is not getting reopened, it is struck out and can never, because he knew how badly frauded it was and the things I was pointing at. So what's happening is, because I phoned Lemmy's gone and opened up a second injunction order to get himself out of trouble. And basically what he's gone and done is,
because I won
the possession order, and then I was going to get onto the ASBO, which was holding me in my house illegally, and they knew they had quit and they were all going to get in trouble. So he made a lie and said I threatened him when he threatened me. He's through the case, he's gone and grabbed the people from the first injunction order that got struck out the court, and he's took them back down to the court, made them do an affidavit of service. Me and my mum had been complaining about these people like from a year prior to them ever meeting Lemmy or anyone ever meeting them. And what he's done with them is made them do an affidavit of service, and he's took all of the original paperwork from the first injunction order they lost the 31 and put it over his telephone, the telephone call to him. Now the judge has seen it. Well, I'm freaking out at the judge, like saying this is unfair, this is illegal, what's happening? And the judge has ordered for the file to be indexed by Lemmy. Lemmy and that have indexed it, and the judge, on one of the reappearances, the judge knew that they had completely had it. So the council's come with a swing around, and they've said, well, they want another assessment done by on me. Then they never realised I was going to strip the computers with the FOI there, the council never, and the doctors never, and get all the referrals to council. Every time my mum messaged them saying, please protect my son, they refer me to the doctors and all that, and I've got all the referrals off the doctors of what the council was doing behind my back with never meeting me or nothing. Yeah, and then basically what's happening is they've gone for the judge has ordered for an assessment because the council has asked for it. I've recorded the assessment when they've come here. She couldn't write the assessment how they needed to write it to dismiss, wash, undermine me and belittle me. And basically, so what's happened is when we've gone back to the court, the judge has said, listen, I've had enough of this, because he knew I wasn't going to have it. The judge has just said, well, listen, Lemmy, you've got to give Mr. Cordell a new flat. Lemmy stood up and said, I'm not doing that. We're not doing that. And then the judge has stood up to Lemmy and said, I've ordered for loads of people to have new houses by the council, and when I say this, it's an order of the court, this must happen. Now obviously I've come back home again thinking that I'm going to get a new home. My partner sold her house and everything, because I had a partner, she sold her house and that she's
sorry,
living in.
When did the judge order this?
The judge ordered this on the second injunction order, and that come to an end about 2017.
They went for another
possession order. They took the same claims from all of the other applications that had been struck at and put them in another possession order, which is highly illegal, yeah? But so they've kept me trapped in a malicious process on top of the ASBO for 4 years through the extra possession order, the extra injunction order, the extra injunction order, then the other possession order on top of the ASBO, while letting all of my neighbours attack me every day and not giving me no support, none of them ever meeting me anywhere other than in a courthouse when I'm defending myself. None of that. So, hello?
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
And basically, what's happened is, once Lemmy was... Once the judge has ordered for Lemmy to give me the new home and told Lemmy that he's got... That this must happen, we've all come back home. My mum's wrote to the council, and the council said... The council said my mum needs to speak to Michael, who's the new team leader that took over Jeffrey Mann from the neighbourhood office team. Michael's agreed with my mum, and they're all in emails now. My mum's gone and got some forms, filled in the forms under the council's request and that. Now, gave that back to the council, and it says an emergency application, but instead the council said, well, you've got to wait till the end of the month for us to have our next annual meeting, board meeting, which was a bit of a... So I've got upset. We're writing, well, this is a bit out of order, so of thing, like I'm still sitting in here getting tortured. It come to the end of that month, and the council said, oh, we could in the emails after loads of stuff, and my mum asking, can we attend the meeting? The council saying you're not allowed to attend the boardroom meeting and all of that. And then basically what's happened is they've said, oh, well, you're going to have to wait till the next month, the end of the next month. So this is unfair. Now, this went on for 3 months. Then this woman, Laminia, who got hired in as a solicitor to help Lemmy, on top of this other Mike, there's two Michaels, Michael at the neighbourhood office team, and there was a Michael solicitor that come from Haringey Civic Centre. At first, Lemmy was in trouble, and I said to Lemmy, are you illegally solicitor to do this? Jeremy didn't want to get involved, because obviously Jeremy's been done for misconduct, sexual misconduct and all that with women and all that in his previous offices, and the court and the civic centre had to pay out a court fees and all that for him and all the... Well, I don't know about court fees, but they're an out-of-court settlement, it says in the newspapers. So Jeremy Chambers didn't want to deal with me. They've hired in Laminia, who come from the Pizza Hut just in Enfield Town. There's a solicitor firm there. They've took her
What's
in...
What's the name, sorry?
Laminia. No, I'm saying that. They've hired her in. we've gone through the second position. She's really tried to slew me. And I'm talking to her, saying to her what Lemmy's done from the first possession, or how he forged these things, and I weren't even in my house, and the rest of it. And she's just kept forcing the process against me. But basically, it come to the third month, and the Minya has gone and somehow took one of these people who are attacking me again, took a statement of them, phoned up the police on the third month of me waiting for the flat, and sent them to my house. When they've sent them to my house, the police put the letter through my letterbox. I've gone to my letterbox and looked at the letter, and it said another harassment letter. So I was like, I've gone outside to the coppers to put it through my letterbox, and I said, what are you up doing? Why are you up putting this through my door again? Have you not been listening to the recordings and what I've been explaining to you? Like, this is unfair, you're setting me up here. And then the police officer said, there's nothing we can do about it. So I went, I made a sound like I had spat, like I went poof like that at the paper. That's what I think of your paperwork, and I ripped the harassment letter up. Now, by doing that, as I've turned my back to head back into my flat, the male officer has said, oh, he spat at me, or something like that. The next thing, I've never done that, because they had body cams on and everything like that, yeah? So basically, the police officers have tried to jump me when I've turned my back to go back into my flat, yeah, after ripping the paperwork up. They've come into my house, finally come and nicked me for it, took me to the police station. I've made the custody officer get all their body cams, take all their clothes and all that, so that they can do forensics and everything, because my DNA's on record. And they dropped the case there and then, that day. But at the same time, they sent me to the doctors again, and I got taken to Chase Farm Hospital, even though I'd done nothing wrong here. While I'm in Chase Farm Hospital, the Minya, who works for the council now, starts writing to all the doctors. She manages to get into Rio, into like the doctor's notes, and her and Lemmy and all that are talking to all the doctors in Rio, all planning how they're going to basically ruin my life. Yeah, and they wrote and just not give me to have no fair process. Yeah, and
yeah, I'm sorry to hear all this, Simon. What do you want us to do? What do you want to go for?
If someone could,
do you want to make a complaint, or what do you want me to do?
I'm going through K Osborne, and I've got the insurance companies for the Civic Centre and for the rest of it. I'm trying to make the process a faster process, as it says in the bottom of their letters. They deal with things within 21 days and that. They've refused to come and take a statement off of me, the council have, or to sit down. Even though I've had the evidence, there's so much of it. In 2014, when this started, I wasn't known to no doctors. There was nothing in my neck. Dawn Allen wrote to the doctors, and Dawn Allen, neighbour office team, she wrote to the doctors because my mum had been messaging her for like 15, 16 months or something like that. And my mum had been asking her. None of them would answer to the emails, Dawn Allen or nothing, because they knew what they were letting my neighbours do to me. So eventually...
Sorry, Simon. Sorry to interrupt you. Did you say you raised this with K Osborne?
Yeah, K Osborne's the insurance lady.
I've not had any.
Yeah. All the recordings between me and K are up on the website. You can go to audio in under the website, and you can see, listen to all
did
the...
Did you send an email to her? How did you raise this with her?
I've been phoning her and speaking to her directly, because I had learning difficulties with reading and writing sort of thing, and the council know that it's on their notes. Because of what's happened, my relationship with my parents have got really bad. You know, I don't talk to my family no more because of all of this, so now my support I once had, or support network, it's still there if I get into trouble, but it's just it's not the same as before, you know, sort of thing. So I've had to sit there and do all this myself, and I've had to it's documenting everything down throughout, and basically I've suffered because of that. So I prefer to have a phone conversation with someone, or sit down and have a meeting with them. I have got the evidence, I've got the videos, but no one would. K Osborne saying they will not meet me, no one will come out and ever meet me.
Because of COVID as well, I don't think that's possible.
No,
but if you put all this in writing, either through email or send us a letter, I think it would be better than having a phone call, because then that way you've got evidence as well.
Yeah, I've got this. I will transcribe this conversation up, and I'll transcribe more. But before COVID, K Osborne are saying they will never meet me. That it doesn't. There's 30 million words just alone in the applications that the council have made.
When did you speak to K?
I spoke to Kay less than seven, about 8 days ago, maybe a bit longer than that now, just a little bit longer, okay. maybe 2 weeks.
Did she give you a time frame when she's going to get back to you? Kay
won't get back to me, she's just trying to wash it away. If you go to audio in horrific corruption and go to the bottom of it, you see there's like 50 phone calls to Kay Osborne. I've managed to speak to her at least 15 times, but more times she just won't pick up the phone. And she says that it doesn't matter what's going on if I can't read or write. It doesn't matter, they're never going to send anybody out. Even if I do manage, because the files are so big, which them not have sent me, 30 million words that they've created, they're saying that I can't email that to anybody because it's too much paperwork. It's taller than the paperwork is taller than me, and I'm six foot, you know.
Maybe just pick up the main points, because you already spoken to her 15 times, she said, so she'll probably have an idea, but just to have write down the main points that
I've took every
about.
Conversation we've had
to her, so she will have to respond.
Yeah, I've took every conversation I've had, and she knows it's all transcribed up in the website. So, and she knows where that is. The internet, you're allowed to use the internet now, and you're saying send it in emails. Emails are a digital form of information. And since, like, that's 1996, right, we've been allowed to use that as evidence in the court of law since the investigatory powers of act come into place. So, since all that, so now I'm allowed to use a website, for instance, because it's the same as an email. So I'm putting all this information in there.
I'd say email is more official, and then the court can use that one.
I understand that. If you see the amount of emails that have gone through, there's 4,500 emails in total that have already been sent.
Yeah, the recordings they often don't listen to in court, so it's easier for them to just read the emails and...
Yeah, but I've got the transcribes. I've transcribed all the recordings up, made a PDF book out of them. So there's a book, and it's indexed. I've took all of the 4,500 emails that got forwarded to them already. And
because it's so lengthy, probably the court doesn't have time or authority to listen to all of those long hours of recordings. So, do you want to give me your email address or a phone number that we can contact you on, and I will raise this with my manager.
Ari underscore.
Sorry, say that again.
R for Romeo, E for Echo.
Yep.
Underscore.
Yeah.
Wired, W-I-R-E-D.
W-I-R-E-D. E-D, Wired.
At ymail.com.
Sorry, what mail?
At normal Y on its own.
Yeah.
And then mail.com. So it's just ymail.com.
.com.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. So re_wired@ymail.com.
Yeah, that's correct, madam. Basically, I would just like, right now, the transfer, if you just go to that, if someone went to the website and to the diary itself and you press Control F, you can put keywords into there, so you can put transfer into there, and then you see how many times you can scroll through and see the transfers in all of the different years and who was talking about.
You mean the website? I don't know if I'm allowed to do that, but what I need to do is I need to take this up with someone, and I just want to clarify that your main issue is basically the way you've been treated and the house transfer that's still
Is
that what you want me to raise with?
I can't have a fair standard of life in this house ever again after what's been allowed to happen to me in it. Do you know, if I go to sleep, I've got a black woman that lives in 117. She attacks me, starts hitting the floor every day because she knows I've built a case against her, and the same for a lot of the other neighbours, and they can see what I'm writing about them and the evidence that I've got in the website, and obviously they know that there's a higher chance of them going to prison for it. So now they're continuously attacking me, even though I'm an innocent person throughout. I've been locked in my house for 8 years and had to go through all of this, do you know, like, and I just want Enfield Council to at least go along to the website, right, get me out of this house like the judge ordered, and I can start to put my life back together, do you know, in some form of way. Right now I can't even get sleep in my own house. Do you know, every place in this front room, every place in this in my whole house, I've walked around 1,000 times over the last 8 years, and I have violently being attacked. I've got at least 25 friends who have stayed here through the period who have also all been attacked with me, and they're all willing to go to court, and I've took statements of them all. I've got statements of all my friends that have stayed here, and they're willing to go to court and prosecute as well for what's happened, you know. Like, I've got a WiseNet camera system in my house, so I've got camera in my front room.
Simon, sorry to cut you.
Hello? I don't know what's happened there.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, I think we got cut off for her. We got cut off. I was just clarifying that we got the right address for you. 109 Burncroft Avenue, EN7, 3SJ.
No, Echo November 3.
Echo November 3.
7 Juliet, Quebec.
7 Juliet, Q.
Yeah, 7JQ. EN3, 7JQ.
Okay, and do you mind giving us a phone number, or you just want...
I'm happy to give you my phone number, of course, sorry. Can we one sec? My telephone number is 07864.
864.
217.
Yep.
519.
519. All right, Simon. Thanks for calling us today, and I will take this up with the someone. Okay, and have a good day.
Oh, it's very hard to have a good day. I don't stop having bad dreams because of it. Like, I wake up screaming, like, you know, like, because of what's been done to me in this flat. And if you watch the videos of what they've actually done to me in here, and what this council has supported and the rest of it throughout, my name has gone completely viral. And if I even try to use any of it, if I even say, oh, my name's, like, the council send the doctors and everyone to me to grab me, you know. So I've got to sit in fear for the rest of my life. You know, and it ain't just my they're saying, oh, I'm Simon's mentally ill. They're trying to put me under the Mental Capacity Act as well as the Mental Health Act, where, because they know I'm good at law, yeah. So what they're trying to say is, now that the government is going to become my legal guardians, they're taking me off my mother and off my father. My dad's an ambulance driver and everything, saying there's never been nothing wrong with me. They're trying to take my legal rights. So now I've got to live in a house with a care worker. They're going to put drugs into my body every day, so that I'm doped out, so I can see, because there's no victim signatures on things, and the timestamps go backwards in the ASPO, and those, they're saying, because I'm saying these things, they're going to put me on medication for the rest of my life. They want to give me this stuff called ECT treatment, electronic compulsive treatment, where they fry my brain so I can't remember things and all that. And, you know, like, the medical charts and the list of drugs that they tried to get me on, even though I've never been assessed as mentally ill, just because of the council referring them, like, every time my mum writes to them and says, please, can you protect my son? Do you know, like, they've left me in fear from my life. I won't ever walk down my own hometown street and feel safe ever again, do you know, and with what the police have done and being allowed. Just the time duration to which all these officials have been left to get away with all of this. What's the chance? What chance do I have of living a fair life again, do you know? My own partner, once the judge ordered for us to have this house, I had a woman that I've been with for like 25 years on and off, like, sort of thing, and like, she had another partner, her and her other partner wasn't getting along, and she decided to sell her house. The judge said, I'm allowed a 2-bedroom house, she was going to come and live with me with the child, because she won't bring the child to this house, because she's scared of what happened to the kid and to her, sort of thing, which is more than fair. She's made the right decisions. Like, we've been together since 2013, and I trust her fully with all my heart, like, sort of thing. Like, and we speak all the time on the phone, but because the judge had ordered everything, my mum's showing her the paperwork, that we've been given a new house, where she's going to be able to move a bedroom for Mason and for us, and now she's going to sold the house. Now she's living in a caravan, paying £5,000 to live in the caravan, on maintenance fees, just, and then she's paying the mortgage on top of that. Do you know what they've done to me? I'm not allowed no job. When Jeremy Chambers got accepted for that Civic Centre and they're torturing me with the TV. They're dropping adverts like, some people are allowed in, some people ain't allowed in. And they're letting Jeremy in, who's been really accused. I've never even argued with my other partner, which was Shannon, throughout this. You know, we've never had an argument today and I never done nothing to her. And, you know, she, whatever happened to it, we were getting along. In the ASBO, the council made the mistake with the ASBO, because when they've let Stephen Ellsmore make the ASBO, the day I met my partner Shannon, is called 420, an event that was on at 420, that Stephen Ellsmore's picked that day up and put that in the ASBO. Then after, me and Shannon have obviously been told, because she had a spot on the top of her ass or something like that, yeah, like I think the clinic were just trying to play lovemakers with us and set us both up with each other, you know, because of her. I think that's what happened, yeah. And because I never
that's
done that.
That's very unfortunate. I'm really sorry. And do you know what's happened? It sounds like you've been through a lot.
Do you know what's happened? After 420, Stephen Ellsmore put that date in there, but me and Shannon knew about this problem that we were being told about. We had to wait for 2 weeks just for the medical reports for to come back about what was there, about this herpes or whatever it is. And, you know, in that time, we never argued, because we can't blame each other, because we don't even know if she's got it or whatever, do you know? They've just found a spot on her ass and said they want to do a swab on her ass, sort of thing. And they said it might be herpes. And so we're waiting. So we can't blame it on each other. We don't even know if she's really good. So we never argued just because of the way that the system's set up. Like, you have to wait for the results. Do you know? We decided to go back out. Like, we met at 420, which Stephen Ellsmore put in it. Then we've gone to these, to pass by and seen a couple of friends at so-called other events. And as we're turning up, the police were at the gates. So Stephen Ellsmore's picked up them dates and put them in. Me and her never had no arguments, and we never had no problems. And Stephen Ellsmore has clearly proved that by the dates he selected and put in the ASBO.
Yeah.
Do you know? And
Simon, that sounds like that's a different kind of issue. Allow us to take this up, what you've reported today. And I'm really sorry you've been through all of this, but I need to go now. Let me raise this with someone.
Okay.
What you reported, I'm really sorry for all your troubles.
Okay, I've got like you're saying, there's 5,000. I'm going to be short as well. I'm saying, I've built a website, and in the website, I get 5,000 emails. I get 5,000 emails a month, yeah. And plus, I've got a massive network of friends and the rest of it. I've got a big network.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to use them. I've got 1,500 officials that are, they've all been called red-handed for some of the worst corruption you'd ever see in your life, yeah? And I've built this diary. I've took that whole mailing list of 1,500 officials, plus my personal mailing list. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start to email all the Civic Centre and everybody, and I've built a new newspaper and start pushing this out to the whole wide world in a minute. I'm going to open up all the Facebook pages and Twitter accounts, and I'm going to mass send to everybody, because no one can deal with this. When I'm asking for this to be dealt with internally, with inside, they're telling me, go deal with it externally. We don't care. There's nothing you can do about it. That's what they're telling me down the phone, sort of thing, in the past recording. So just like, everyone's saying email us. If I do start to email, this things really will become formal, and it will be an official formal complaint, and I'll want that dealt with the relevance and the specifics to what it deserves, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that someone actually phoning me, and actually, because I'm a reasonable person and I'm negotiable, and my whole principle was for the job that I wanted was to have minimal impact on society, or be able to make sure that if there is a problem, I can cause minimal impact and I can rectify the issue. So it is that, do you know? And everyone wants us to go to the next. I shouldn't have to publish what's been done to me online and suffer even more because of people won't deal with things that they're being paid to deal with. Do you know? So if someone did call me, it'd be, and actually spoke to me and wanted to and sorted it out properly. Like, I am negotiable. I just want things to be as they would want it to be if they had been through what I've been through. Do you know? So I think that everyone forcing me down the email line is going to have a massive negative, because I will smash it out to everybody, and I'm upset that I'm going to have to do that, and I'm being forced to do that after what's already happened in my name, do you know? So if someone really does call me back, I'd
appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Allow me to take this up with someone, and we'll try to resolve it.
All right, thank you.
And try to have a nice day.
Okay. All right, thank you. And you too, madam. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.